This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Letting you know that I'm live. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin alayhi afdal as-salatu wa atamu taslim. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yasirli amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We left off yesterday and we said that we would explain the Ma'idah, right? Surah Al-Ma'idah. And I said that we would go over verses 112 and 118 of Surah Al-Ma'idah before we continue our halaqah, or before we get into tonight's topic. Tonight they will be reciting in Taraweeh from verse number 1 to 165, the entire Surah Al-An'am. Okay, Surah Al-An'am. And so before we get into Surah Al-An'am, I wanted to go over the last few verses of Surah Al-Ma'idah and explain what exactly is taking place there. So in verse number 112 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إِذْ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ رَبُّكَ أن ينزل علينا مائدة من السماء قال اتقوا الله إن كنتم مؤمنين.
So in verse number 112, the disciples of Isa alayhi salam, right? This goes back to the story of Isa, Jesus, Prophet Jesus, his disciples, the people that he had close to them, his students, right? His students. Isa alayhi salam, he was asked by them, and they said to Isa, can you ask your Lord to bring down for us a spread, a beautiful meal? هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ رَبُّكَ أَن يُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. This is where you get lost in the verses that resemble each other. And your brain is telling you one thing and your eyes are telling you another. So I'm looking at the verse and I'm thinking of another verse. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here that the disciples of Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, they asked him, is your Lord capable of bringing us down food, a nice platter, a nice dish, a nice, meal for us to enjoy? But this is a food that comes from the sama, from the heavens. That's divine, that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he reminds them, he says, fear Allah, if you should be believers. If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you definitely know that He can provide this for you. Right? It's not something that is impossible. Nothing is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they say to Isa alayhi salam, we wish to eat from it and let our hearts be content and be reassured. And know that you have been truthfully given, this status as a prophet, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you that that sort of status. And so Isa alayhi salam, he calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
قال عيسى بن مريم اللهم ربنا أنزل علينا مائدة السماء تكون لنا عيدا لأولنا وآخرنا وآية منك وارزقنا وأنت خير الرازقين.
So he says, Isa alayhi salam, the son of Mary, he says, O Allah, our Lord, send down to us a table full of food, right, from the sky, from the heavens. Let it be something that is, as festive for us, so we can enjoy. We will enjoy this food for the first of us and for the last of us, basically all of us. And it will be also for the Hawariyun, for the disciples, a sign from you. Because they're looking for a sign. They want a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will be a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. And Isa alayhi salam then says, and provide for us, and you are the best of providers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then calls out to Isa alayhi salam. He says,
قَالَ اللَّهُ إِنِّي مُنَزِّلُهَا عَلَيْكُمْ.
He says, I will surely send down to you this, food that you request from me. However, anyone who disbelieves after I send this food down, then indeed I will punish them with a punishment that no one had ever received before this. This will be a punishment for them. As you know, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means here is that He's going to allow them to receive this food. And the food will come to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But anyone who disbelieves after seeing the food come to them, then they will receive a punishment from amongst the disciples. And then, you know, the story goes on. Isa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to him and says, did you say to the people that you should take me and my mother as, you know, deities to be worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the story goes on. We'll talk about the story of Isa alayhi salam as time goes on throughout the month, insha'Allah ta'ala. But we see here that the surah Ma'idah is talking about the food, the spread that came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Isa alayhi salam and his disciples. And that was a food that was, you know, sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there was from amongst the disciples of Isa alayhi salam who disbelieved. Who disbelieved afterwards? As in, they didn't disbelieve immediately from seeing the food, but they went against Isa alayhi salam. Which one of the disciples? Do we know his name? No one? Jonas. Jonas was one of the disciples of Isa alayhi salam who went against him and who basically went the people who wanted to stop the followers of Isa, the people at the time, who wanted to stop Isa alayhi salam and his followers. They were planning to basically kill him. And so they wanted to find Isa alayhi salam. And so Jonas went and said, I will go into the home where we gather and see. If he's there, then I will come out and let you know if he's there. And so he goes in and he sees that he is not there. Isa alayhi salam is not there. But as he comes out, he exits the home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that he made Jonas look like Isa alayhi salam. He says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. And so it was made to seem as though they killed or they were capturing Isa alayhi salam and hanging him, but they did not do that. They didn't crucify Isa alayhi salam. They actually ended up, you know, doing that to Jonas because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swapped the appearance of Jonas and made him appear as though he was Isa alayhi salam, but he wasn't there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already taken him up. So he had already returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We move on to the next surah. Surah Al-An'am. We will cover the entire surah insha'Allah ta'ala. The beginning of Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-arda wa ja'ala adh-dhulumati wan-nur. ثم الذين كفروا بربهم يعدلون هو الذي خلقكم من طين ثم قضى أجلا وأجل مسمى عنده ثم أنتم تمترون وهو الله في السماوات وفي الأرض يعلم سركم وجهركم ويعلم ما تكسبون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah identifying to us His praise. That we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows the knowledge of the unseen. He knows subhanahu wa ta'ala how we were created. And He identifies to us our creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard. So he begins with praise, identifying to us that even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises or shows us the importance to praise Him, the importance of praising Him as our Creator. In verse number 4 to 11 of Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows how the idol worshippers, if they were even to give, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to give them a sign from amongst the signs that they choose, whatever they choose, you want us to take this rock and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn this rock into a big camel. Which story was that? Which prophet? You should know this. Which prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people said, take this big stone and turn this stone into a camel. Ask your Lord, ask Allah to turn this stone into a camel. Which story is it? Come on, one of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of us know? Homework. Homework. This is your homework for tomorrow. Okay? You need to tell me which prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was asked by his people to take the stone. They identified a stone, a big boulder in front of them, and said, ask your Lord to turn this stone into a camel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned it into a big, nice, beautiful she camel that was even pregnant. It was pregnant at the time, ready to deliver. And so that is one of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his story. I want you to identify which one of the prophets it was and let us know tomorrow, insha'Allah ta'ala. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses, he says, you know, he goes on, وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ. And no sign comes to them from the signs of their Lord except they turn away from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if Allah was to send to them or to any of the non-believing people a sign that they want. So for example, you know, someone says, I want this microphone to turn into, a beautiful car, a Ferrari, right? Ask Allah to make it turn into a Ferrari. Can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this turn into a Ferrari? Yeah, of course. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us though, that even if, in this surah, he tells us, even if he was to give the people who don't believe signs that they want, they still wouldn't believe. And this surah goes through a number of different verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala identifies belief and what it means to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we'll see as we go along, and how the non-believers were given signs. And the different prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lists different prophets and some of their destruction, and how still the people didn't believe even after sending them the signs that they wanted. In verse number 19, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that He is the greatest and the greatest witness for us. So if we were to testify, we testify to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادَةٌ قُلِ اللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ بيني وبينكم وأوحي إلي هذا القرآن لأنذركم به ومن بلغ أئنكم لتشهدون أن مع الله إلها آخر أئنكم لتشهدون أن مع الله آلهة أخرى قل لا أشهد قل إنما هو إله واحد وإنني بريء مما تشركون. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, قل أي شيء أكبر شهادة. What is better for us, or what is greater? What is the greatest thing that we should testify upon? Of course, we testify by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He's the best witness. He knows every single thing that we do, whether it is known publicly, openly, and what we conceal. Like right now, at this very moment, someone might be thinking something inside of themselves. They're thinking it in their mind, they're feeling it in their heart. Who knows? Anyone sitting here, no one knows. We don't know. I have no idea what you're thinking. Some people might be staring at the clock, counting every single second as it ticks down to 9 o'clock, and so they can have their iftar. Others might be, you know, simply staring at nothing, or staring at me, and just, you know, imagining the food. Other people might be thinking of their day and how difficult it was. Myself, I was reading the verses and I was just like, SubhanAllah, it's been a long day. And this is why I stopped, and I said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Shaitan is coming and whispering to us. We're reciting the Qur'an and we're thinking of our day, right? So all of us are thinking different things, going through different things, experiencing different things, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows those things. He knows our secrets. قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادًا قُلِ اللَّهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on in the verse, as He mentions, to tell us, and we should say, we should testify, قُلْ لَا أَشْهَدْ. When someone asks us to testify other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to take an oath by something other than Allah, swear, pinky swear, right? Remember when we were small, people would say, okay, pinky swear. Did you guys used to do that? No? Not at your time? Your time? Not at your time? My time? Yeah, your time? Alhamdulillah, at least someone is around the same age as me, right? And pinky swear, people used to do that. Kids in school, pinky swear, right? No, we don't swear by your pinky, and we don't take an oath by anything. Sometimes people swear by their parents. I swear by the life of my mother, or I swear upon my mother or my father. No, you don't do that. We don't swear by anyone or anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ لَا أَشْهَدْ قُلْ إِنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَإِنَّنِي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. I only take an oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I testify that He is the only one worthy of worship, and there is none beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse number 27 to 32, very, very interesting how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, shows us the non-believers will wish to return to the earth so that they can fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they see Jahannam.
وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ وَلَا نُكَذِّبُ فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ وَلَا نُكَذِّبَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
If we could see when we are made to stand before the hellfire, right? If we could see the people who were standing in front of Jahannam, how they would wish to return, and they would call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ وَلَا نُكَذِّبَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
So they would stand before the fire and say, oh, how we wish that we could return to this world. Why? So that we can do some good deeds, do something good, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say?
بَلْ بَدَى لَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُخْفُونَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ.
But what they concealed before has now appeared to them. They now realize they believe, they disbelieved. They disbelieved, but now that they witnessed Jahannam, they want to go back and change that. But it is apparent in them that I lived my life as a disbeliever, as they stand in front of Jahannam, right? And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and even if they were returned, if Allah was to send them back to earth, if that happened, it wouldn't happen, it's not going to happen. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if they were to be returned, they would return to what they were previously upon. And indeed, they are liars. They still wouldn't believe. They only say that they would believe in Allah because they're standing in front of Jahannam. And that's a really interesting lesson for us. Because, sometimes in our life, we say, I'm going to change. A person, and I know very well, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed me to interact with many different people at different times in their life. And I remember a time where I was interacting with someone who was in the hospital. And he was saying, if Allah allows me to leave, I'm going to change my life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the cure. And he left the hospital and he went back to the exact same lifestyle that he used to live. Nothing changed. It was exactly the same. And we know probably ourselves in our lives, there may have been times where we ourselves did that as well. Now maybe we changed, alhamdulillah. But maybe immediately after that moment, we said we claimed that we would change, but we didn't. Or we know someone who is in that situation and claim that they would change themselves if they're given health, but they don't. And that's simply to prove to us how weak we really are. This is the month of Ramadan. And this is the month where we know very well, shaitan, everyone says, shaitan is shackled up. Yeah, the month of Ramadan, everyone's excited, they're full of energy. This is the month where we're going to do a lot of goodness and a lot of khayr, etc. But subhanAllah, we find that sometimes we still commit the same sins that we did before Ramadan even began. Last week, remember last week, I encouraged us, the weekend is ahead of us and Ramadan had not begun yet. It was beginning on Sunday night, right? Because we started praying Taraweeh on Sunday night. And I said, use this weekend. Plan, prepare yourself, get ready for the month of Ramadan. Get your clothing ready for Eid, right? Prepare yourself in advance so that when the month of Ramadan begins, you don't waste your time doing other things. And prepare yourself mentally as well, and emotionally, and spiritually. The month is going to begin. Now that 5 days, we're completing our fifth night. This is our fifth day. And we're going to begin our sixth night of Ramadan. Now that 5 days of fasting is almost over, and the sixth night is about to begin, how have I changed from last Friday night, when it was not Ramadan, or 2 Fridays ago, or 1 month ago, or 2 months ago? Have I changed in any way, shape, or form? What's different in me now that 5 days have passed? And as I was fasting throughout these days of fasting, these 5 days of fasting, what's different in me? Am I still cheating? Am I still lying? Am I still, you know, making up stories? Am I still exaggerating things that are happening around me in life? Am I still, you know, swearing and saying bad words? Am I backbiting others? Am I going to places that I shouldn't go to? Am I hanging out with people that I shouldn't be hanging around? All of these things we need to ask ourselves. 5 days of Ramadan are gone. Am I going to change? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this example that the people who lived as non-believers in this life, they would stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of Jahannam, right? On the day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places them in front of Jahannam, about to enter it, and wish and call out, had I, you know, known, I would have lived a different life. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, return us so that we can do something different. But they would not do anything different. Now some people might say, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. Why doesn't Allah let them come back and show them and, you know, let them prove to Him that they would change? Allah knows. We just finished identifying that Allah knows the secrets that we conceal. And therefore, a person that might say, you know what, maybe that person will come back and actually change themselves. No, Allah knows that they lived their life a certain way and they chose to reject Islam upon them. They chose to reject worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one and only true God to be worshipped, and that even if He returned them, they would return to nothing more than simply gaining money and wealth and living the life that they currently live. And that is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to prove to us that we have the choice. You can choose to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can choose to disbelieve. That's your choice. And you're given that choice. No one is forcing us to be here right now. Maybe some of our youth, their parents came and they said, no, you don't have a choice, you have to come. But no one is forcing us to be here. Like, we can leave. Even the youth that are with us, they can stand up and go outside and play and chill and go and do whatever they want. And, you know, maybe call up a relative, can I come to your house today and just chill, have iftar at your home instead of having iftar here at the masjid. But we chose to be here. Similarly, some people who may or could have been here, I should say could have been here, they may want to be here, but they didn't choose to actively come. They're just chilling out, wherever they are, right? And we're not saying that they're doing anything bad or wrong, but they didn't choose to be here with us right now. They chose to be where they are. They might want to, they say, you know, I want to go there. But what did you do? What did you plan? How did you prepare to get there? And if you absolutely couldn't, khalas, that's different. That's a different story. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the option to choose in life. And that is something that we were blessed with. No or none of the other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given the option to choose. None. Just us. That's something that we get. So choose wisely is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us here. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى رَبِّهِمْ قَالَ أَلَيْسَ هَذَا بِالْحَقِّ. In verse number 30, if they stand, when they were to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will say, is this not the truth? They will say, yes, this is the truth. قَالُوا بَلَى وَرَبِّنَا قَالَ فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. Now they're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who disbelieve. And Allah says, now that you see me, right? You can now actually see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As in, you don't physically see Him, because we know we only see Him in Jannah. But you see that the truth of those who called you towards Islam, towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they told you that you would live a day to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will come to stand before Him. There will be an akhirah, a hereafter, where you will have to testify for everything that you did in life. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ. Now they're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He asks them, is this not the truth? They say, yeah, we know, we understand now, this is the truth. خلاص, it's over though. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. Right? When the trumpet is blown, everything is done with. Now we're actually standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, فَذُوقُ الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. Now, taste the punishment of what you used to disbelieve in. You disbelieved. You didn't follow. You were ignorant to it. You chose that path for yourself. Now that you understand this is the truth, good. But you could have chosen that during this life. And we leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who choose to disbelieve. In verse number 46 of Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ سَمْعَكُمْ وَأَبْصَارَكُمْ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a simple question. He simplifies our belief in Him and our need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَخَذَ اللَّهَ سَمْعَكُمْ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to take away your hearing, and He was to take away your sight, وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ, and He was to, you know, take away your heart, as in seal your heart, who would help you? Who would help us? And I think I asked you this question a few weeks ago, or maybe a month or two ago. If we lost our hearing, would we still believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ask yourself that question. Would I still believe in Allah? How many here say we would still believe? Okay. But what if you were born without the ability to hear? Or you were born and you could hear, but after a year, it was taken away from you. Would we still believe? Like, imagine as we're sitting here, learning the Qur'an, listening to the verses of the Qur'an, you're standing in salah, you're praying taraweeh, but you can't hear anything. It's like, nothing. You don't hear anything. Nothing. You're standing and the imam is calling the adhan, you don't know when it's time for iftar. You only know because everyone is picking up a date and they're eating now. Okay, yeah, it's time for iftar because everyone is eating. You can't hear anything. You can't hear the beautiful verses of the Qur'an. You can't hear, you know, when people talk about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't hear the stories of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can't hear about the prophets of the past. Would we still believe? Some of us will say yes, we'll still believe. Why? Because we can read. But what if you couldn't hear and you couldn't see? You couldn't see. So you can't hear and you can't see. You close your eyes, you plug your ears. How would life be if that was our day and our night? Imagine it. Just close your eyes right now and imagine if you couldn't hear anything and you couldn't see anything. Would you still believe? Honestly, many people might say, yeah, I would still believe because now we believe. But imagine if you were born, someone who could not hear and someone who could not see. Or 5 years, 6 years, 10 years into your life, the hearing that you had and the sight that you have no longer exists. And then your parents tell you, they yell at you, they scream, they take a, you know, microphone and they yell as loud as they can to tell you, believe, believe, believe. And you can't believe because you can't hear them. Would we still believe? And the question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poses to us is not, would we still believe? It says, who's going to come to your help at that point in time? Who will help you? Who will help you in that situation? Now, some people might say, oh, you know what, as a doctor, we could have, you know, a cochlear implant put into the head and then, you know, have this thing going into your ear and alhamdulillah, you'll be able to hear things. Yeah, but who gave us the ability to do that? And not everyone has that option. Not everyone has the option to have a cochlear implant and then listen and hear, right? I have a niece who actually has, you know, had that procedure done to her. She was born and she couldn't hear. And alhamdulillah, her hearing was, you know, very, very slight. And so the doctor said, we can actually try this and see if she'll be able to hear. And alhamdulillah, they did it, and it worked. And over the years, she started to learn, some of the sounds, and she would pronounce things weird and strange. But then, as she grew older, she could develop the sounds and so on. And alhamdulillah, now she, speaks properly. Alhamdulillah. But not everyone has that option. Those whose eyesight is missing. And people will say, oh, we could put a little camera. Yes, you could put a camera and you can attach it to the brain, but is it going to be the same? Like everyone is buying the iPads and saying, I want the iPad that has retina display. Can we actually reinvent retina display for our blind? Allah knows. Allah knows. And is it the same? No, it isn't. It's not the same. Life is not the same. For example, someone who wears a hearing aid, at night they take it out and they sleep a deep sleep. Right? My wife's father, he's, elderly, and he has hearing aids. And my wife says when he goes to sleep, he sleeps the best in the house. He takes out those hearing aids, he doesn't hear anything. He just sleeps. Nice. To wake him up, you have to come and you have to, wake him up. Or an extremely loud alarm clock right next to his pillow. Right? And he might hear it. And so subhanAllah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us eyesight, He gives us hearing, He gives us a heart to believe in, reason in our brain to understand. If that was to be taken away, who can give it back to us? None but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None. Even when we lose something that is not us, let's say you lose a child, who can give you back happiness? Who is the owner of happiness? A parent who loses a child becomes extremely sad. Extremely sad. They feel as though it's not right, it's not fair. Why is it that this child of mine left before me? I'm older than the child. How can the child leave? It's not fair. People say that. It's not fair. They come and they ask a question, how is it fair? How did Allah do something that was just by taking my child away from me when my child is younger than me? I'm older. Justice means take away the older person because the older person should leave before the younger one. No. The owner of happiness can place happiness and contentment back into our hearts if we choose to allow it to enter. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator. And He creates what we see and creates what we don't see. Like we said the other day, our heart is inside of us beating and pumping. Pumping the blood through our body. Do we ever think, randomly in the day that the blood is pumping through us? No, we don't take a moment to stop and say, subhanAllah, the blood is rushing through my fingers and I can feel it. The other day I went to the doctor and I was telling him I have this pain in my lower back that goes all the way down to my toes. And so he tells me, close my eyes. I took off my socks. He says, sit down, close your eyes. So I'm sitting there and he takes this little thing. It looks like, a bristle from a paintbrush, for example. A little bristle. Okay? And he's poking my feet in different places, poking my toes. He's like, do you feel it? I say, yeah, I feel it. Alhamdulillah, I could feel it. Alhamdulillah, I could still feel it. Imagine, through the skin, he takes this little thing like this, right? Like this. This little thing, exactly like this. And he's poking my foot with it. Just tapping it lightly, like that. Do you feel it? Yeah, I feel it. Alhamdulillah, the brain registers that you're feeling this on your toe. You're feeling it on your foot. You're feeling it underneath your foot. Alhamdulillah. That's a blessing. Imagine you woke up in the morning and you go to make wudu at Fajr time. Suhoor. We're all zombies, right? You wake up at Suhoor after sleeping 1 hour. After Taraweeh, you get home. Oh, let me take an hour nap. You wake up. You go to the bathroom. You open the water. And imagine you put your hands under the water. You're like, you're half asleep. You don't know what you're doing. But you lost your sense of touch. You couldn't feel. Imagine. And the water is burning your hands. But you don't know that it's burning your hands because you're half asleep and you're like, oh, I need to eat suhoor. Right? You're half asleep, you don't know what you're doing. But the water is burning your hands and you didn't realize that in the night you lost the ability to feel. Who puts that in us? Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Allah is teaching us in this surah. Highlighting His power and His creation, how He created us, and how we need to believe in the things that we see and we don't see. Things that we don't see but we feel, for example, I could feel on my toes, I could feel, the pain in my back, I could feel that I'm hungry, I could feel that I'm thirsty. But at times throughout our day, sometimes we don't stop to think and ponder over the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with. In verse number 46, we mentioned that one. We move on to verse number 59. In verse number 59, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that He knows everything. He says here, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّهُ. He has the key to the knowledge of the unseen, the knowledge of that which we can't even understand. Right? The knowledge of the unseen. None knows them except Him. And He knows what is on the land and in the sea. So for example, what's traveling on the land? Sometimes actually I don't want to use that example right now, we'll speak about it as the verse goes on. But what's traveling on the land? Sometimes you're just sitting there and you see something in front of you. Let's say a little spider. Subhanallah, where did this spider come from? 5 seconds ago, we didn't even think of the spider. Now it's right in front of us. Where did this spider come from? What was it doing today? Where did it get its breakfast? What did it eat? Did it make a web or not? What is this spider up to throughout the day? Allah knows. We never even stop to think of it. But we see the spider and Allah knows everything to do with it. Simple example. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He knows what's in the sea. Now you watch these documentaries and they go to the depths of the sea or the ocean and they record beautiful things and strange things. Things that, look like this and they're walking on the bottom of the seabed. Really, really strange. But that's a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We never even knew it existed. But for hundreds, thousands of years, it was under the water and living. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it and put it there. For what reason? Allah knows. Maybe those little insects and parasites, we know that, what do we call it? The cycle of life. So one little insect is eaten by a bigger insect, which is eaten by, let's say a bird, and then the bird is eaten by something else. And then, a bigger animal eats a bigger animal and eats a bigger animal. Like the whale eats a smaller fish that eats a smaller fish that eats a smaller fish. Allah knows what it's there for. Maybe if we lose that small little insect at the bottom of the sea, we might lose an entire species of fish. Only Allah knows. And what that animal does during the day and during the night, when it's pitch dark, and we can't even see at the depths of the ocean, but we bring a light down to shine so we can record what's there, Allah knows what that animal is seeing. We see it and it looks like, black and white and gray. Different shades, nothing very colorful. In different parts of the world you go and it's extremely, extremely colorful. Beautiful colors that we never even imagined existed at the bottom of the ocean. And it looks like some of these fish sometimes have spotlights in front of them. How is it that this light is shining out of it? Like its belly has a spotlight in it. How is that happening? That's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows what's happening at the depths of the ocean as well. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not a leaf falls, but that He knows of it. Imagine right now, maybe, not only a leaf, but maybe a hair from my head just fell to the ground. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. I didn't know. But your wife knows, because she looks around the sink and she says, hey, you trimmed your mustache, all these hairs fell to the ground. Why didn't you pick them up? Oh, I didn't see them. I didn't see this. Right? You trim your mustache, it's Jum'ah, right? So you trim your mustache and then your wife complains to you, right? She says, whoa, what is all this hair around the sink? I didn't see any hair. What hair are you talking about? And she goes and she gets a tissue and wipes around the counter and says, here, look at all these little hairs that you trimmed. Oh, I didn't notice. I rinsed out the sink, subhanAllah. Allah knows all those little bits of hairs that are falling. He knows every single leaf that's on the tree. And He knows when one falls. And He controls the colors of the leaves on the trees as well. And not a single leaf is the same as another leaf. They differ in color, they differ in size, they differ in shape, they differ in different types, different species of trees, subhanAllah. I remember I was in Vancouver, and one of the imams, he came to see me from BC, from British Columbia, and he came to see me in Vancouver, and he took me up to the mountains. And we went to see some of the trees. SubhanAllah, some of them were like 500, 600, 700 years old. 700 year old tree. Massive tree. You look up at the sky and you see nothing but the tree and the clouds. Beautiful. But the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were not living. Our grandparents were not living. Our great grandparents were not living. Our great, 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 great grandparents were not living. But that tree was there. And Allah was taking care of the tree. He was making the rain fall and the water go into the ground, and it's absorbed into the roots, and it goes up the trunk, and it goes out the branches to the leaves. And subhanAllah, who's creating that and who's controlling it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He then says, and no grain is there within the darkness of the earth. So you put a seed in the bottom of the, you dig a hole, you put a seed inside, you cover it up with some dirt. You have no power over it, but Allah controls it. And then you see the little sprout coming out of the ground. Who's doing that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's dark under there. The worms are not making the sprouts come out. It's not the worms. It's not the insects under the ground. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not Mother Nature. Right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and no moist or dry thing, but that it is written in a clear record. As in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls everything. What's dry, what's moist, the fruits and vegetables and so on. Everything is controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We move on to verse number 74 to 76. We're not going to recite these. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the different prophets. He begins with Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he shows us how Ibrahim alayhi salam advises his father. Right? He advises his father and he says, Inni araka wa qawmaka fi dhalalin mubin. What did he say, Nabihi Azam? Atattakhidhu asnaman aliha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he asks his father, do you follow these idols as gods? And his father Azar is the one who's actually carving the stone. People would bring boulders, rocks, to the father of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he would carve them into the idol. And outside of his home, outside of his workshop, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was a child, he used to sit and play on those stones and boulders. And now he's asking his father, you think these idols that you worship, like, you're taking this as a god? How? It's just a stone. You're the idol maker. You're the one that carves these idols out of stone. You know that this is not going to do anything for you. It's not going to provide you anything. In verse number 76, 77, 78, Ibrahim alayhi salam shows us. He sees the star and he says, Hada Rabbi, this must be my Lord. And then the star goes away. Why? Because maybe the sun rises or it changes different time of the night. The star goes away. He says, no, this can't be my Lord. Then he sees the moon and he says, Hada Rabbi, this has to be my Lord. This is bigger than the star. This is beautiful. Look at it. It's the moon. And then it goes away. No, this can't be my Lord. Then he sees the sun. He says, Hada Rabbi, Hada Akbar. This must be my Lord. This is bigger. It's the biggest, right? Look at it. It's the sun. And the sun, it's hot. It provides heat during the day. We feel comfortable when the heat comes out. But subhanAllah, then the sun goes away and the night comes back. This can't be my Lord. And he's saying that to show the people, don't believe in these stars and the sun and the moon as your Lord. They are creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is greater than these items that He created. So the whole surah is identifying, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes on to talk about some of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verses 95 to 99, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us to recognize the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah faliqul habbi wal nawa. In the next verse, faliqul isbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed the cleaver of the grain and the date seed. You put the grain in the ground, who cracks the grain open? None of us. We can't even hold it. We try and hold it with four fingers. Try and take a little seed and hold it and try and crack it. It's difficult. Sometimes we need to take it and crush it with our nail. Or put it down and just, squish it with something. Take a knife and press on it, right? Squish it. And that's how we open it up. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commands the seed when it's ready, open up. And then the sprout grows out of it. We don't do that. That's the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the cleaver of the daybreak and made the night for rest and the sun and the moon for calculation. So he placed the sun and the moon there. And we use the sun and moon to calculate. Before we had our watches, now we have beautiful watches that tell us not only the time, but it tells me, you know, my email is here, mashallah. And then I have Telegram, and then I have WhatsApp, and I have Ikna Milton Masjid telling me there's 20 minutes until Maghrib, which was, you know, an old message. And subhanAllah, so many different things come to me on my watch. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the sun and the moon, and they revolve, right? We have the night and we have the day, and we see the sun dials that people used to use in the past, and they would use that to calculate, the sun dial to calculate what time is it. It's almost time for iftar, mashallah. Why? How do we know? The shadow is there. And then at night we see the moon come out, okay. And the beautiful, you know, colors that you'll see on this side of the masjid after maghrib, after you finish eating, go outside and see the beautiful colors in the sky. Observe it. Understand that those colors and the sky and how it's dark over there, but it's still light on this side, is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the sun set here. And it already got dark on the other side. And over here the sun is still going down. So we're seeing some light. And where is that sun right now? You know, subhanAllah, the other day I was in Australia, in Perth. And I was watching the sun rise in Perth. Beautiful sunrise. And I was on this iPad with my children. And they were saying, Abati, you know, it's almost Maghrib time. We're going to go inside soon. They were playing outside in the backyard, subhanAllah. And it's sunlight here in Mississauga, or Oakville, and the sun is rising over there. And then a few minutes later, they're like, you know, it's Maghrib time, and the sun is going down, and it's beautiful sunset. I said, yeah, I'm watching the beautiful sunrise over here. Beautiful, amazing, amazing. The sun is on the other side of the world, but we can see the light here, and someone in Australia can see the sun as well. How does that happen? That is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He gave it to us to calculate. Because people will say, no, it's a simple calculation, it's the distance and this and that, and the scientists, yeah, we agree with you. Allah's telling us, He gave it to us to calculate. That's why it's there. So we use it to calculate day and night, etc. Then in verse number 108 of Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us a lesson.
وَلَا تَسُبُّوا الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّوا اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us how it is prohibited.
لَا تَسُبُّوا الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ.
Do not... what's the word I'm looking for? Insult. Do not insult the gods that other people worship. Even though we know, we believe this is not a true God. People worship idols, statues, walls, animals, rats, you know, cows, snakes, etc. People worship different things.
لا تسبوا الذين يدعون من دون الله.
Don't insult the things that other people worship. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us,
فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ.
Why? Because they would insult, or they might insult Allah in enmity without knowledge. They might do that without knowledge. They might say, oh, you make fun of my gods? Well, your God is like this and your God is like that. And this is why I always discourage those who want to debate with others. They want to debate religion. Be careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran,
وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ.
If you're going to debate with someone, debate with them in what is best, in what is better. Use goodness, use kindness, speak to them nicely. Do not insult other people. Do not, you know, tell them, oh, your book is like this and your book is like that. We have examples of people who were good at this. Ahmad Didat, for example. Today we have the, you know, the modern day Ahmad Didat. Who is he? Doctor Zakir Naik, mashallah. You know, they're good at this. There's many others. Trust me, there's many others. There's one really, really good brother who, you know, subhanAllah, I know very well in Malaysia. You know, absolutely amazing. He accepted Islam and he went and he studied and learnt with Dr. Zakir Naik and came back to Malaysia and he does his own studies, research. And when he debates with people, he doesn't debate to try and prove them wrong by insulting them or their book. We debate with ihsan, nicely, proving to people this is the truth, showing them the truth. When you try to debate with others by putting down or defaming what they believe in, you only create more hatred inside of them for you and what you believe in. But when you show them what you're believing in is wrong, why? Because my book, our book, the Quran, tells us this and tells us that, and you recite the verses to them, wow, they want to listen to it. Yeah, this is something I need to hear. You know, subhanAllah, try it sometimes. We all have Quran applications and recitation on our phones. When you're speaking to someone who's non-Muslim, tell them, randomly. There are people who did, I remember seeing YouTube videos a while back about this. Just show them a clip, an audio clip. Let them listen to the recitation of the Quran. Put your favorite reciter and let them listen to it. Just 30 seconds. Here, listen, this is our Quran. It's being recited. We don't read it as in you just pick up a book and read it. We recite it. We read it with a tone. And we recite the Quran. So let them listen to it. When they listen to it, oh, subhanAllah. You see their hearts melt. They just, oh, what is being said? They have no idea. They don't speak Arabic. They don't understand a word of Arabic. But they're just listening. Oh, what is this thing? It's so beautiful. I like it. It's not like music. Music is like, da-da-da-da-da, it gets you all motivated and does, you know, strange things to you. But subhanAllah, this is soothing. This is calming. But it's motivating in a spiritual sense. I want to become closer to this. What is it? I need to know. And subhanAllah, they come closer to the Qur'an. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits us from insulting the false gods that the others believe in and follow. We move on. I know we have 3 minutes left. We move on to verse number 125. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, and we reiterate what we discussed earlier. And I know there's a lot of people here that were not here earlier. So I'm going to say this. We start our halaqah an hour before Maghrib for those that want to join us. Those that are here that might not be able to make it every single day. We have the YouTube channel. I believe it's being recorded, right? Is it being recorded? Or is it always? Yeah, it's being recorded and uploaded on Masjid Al-Falah YouTube channel. But I'm also doing a live streaming. You see people are watching here. I'm doing a live streaming on Facebook, on my Facebook account, so people can watch around the world. And so alhamdulillah, we have currently logged in right now watching 64 viewers. Alhamdulillah, right? And the other night we got about 160,000 views. MashaAllah, that's amazing, coming from your masjid. And so those that are here, we start an hour before Maghrib. For the sisters, we usually encourage them to turn their lights on so they're not sitting in darkness. They're sitting in some light, have nur coming down on them. And we also have a little partition put up here because we make this announcement usually when the families are not here yet. So for the sisters who come to the halaqah, they can come out the door. There's a white door on their left side when they're facing the Qibla. They can come out and there's a partition there for them so that they can sit and, you know, feel as though they're still part of the halaqah while still having a little bit of a barrier between them. And, you know, they can see and feel as though they're part of the gathering. So I have 1 minute left. I will mention one thing. Verse number 125, like I said, I will reiterate what we discussed earlier. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whoever wants to be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever wants guidance, then you will get guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you guidance if that is what you want, if that is what you seek. Seek to be guided and you will be guided. But the person who does not want to be guided, you could read through the rest of the verse on your own, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the opportunity to live their life and have many chances to want guidance, to be guided, but if they choose no guidance for them, then they will not be guided. They choose to not be guided. They make that choice, as we discussed earlier, and I will end here, and I will begin tomorrow with verse number 160, And for those that are not here, 160 teaches us how our good deeds can go the distance. So for those that want to know it, you need to come early tomorrow, inshaAllah. This is a teaser for you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to understand these verses. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and forgive the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to increase our taqwa and iman throughout this month of Ramadan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our fasts and to forgive us throughout this month and to help all those that are suffering and struggling in different parts of the world. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa jazakum allahu khayran wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Take advantage of dua. It's Friday and we are fasting. Okay? Take advantage of dua.
Okay, so I'll give you a little tour of the masjid since we're still broadcasting. These are our youth, mashallah, alhamdulillah. And this is our iftar that is taking place. So this is the brother side, and the sisters have iftar as well. On the sister side of the masjid, alhamdulillah. And in fact, all of the iftar, every single Ramadan, every single night, is organized mainly and primarily by one sister. She is the head of the iftar. And so subhanallah, this is, you know, a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she's actually a single mother. Her husband had passed away a few years ago during the winter. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon every single one of us. Take advantage of making dua. This is the last moments on Friday. Assalamu alaikum.